my mom. That's so nice. It's nice to see everybody. Everybody was sleeping, but I actually saw snow last night coming home from work. It was awesome. I was excited, hoping that we were going to get a lot. No, by the time I got here, it was gone. So, bummer. Some of today's announcements are health concerns. We need to remember the Geeseys, McCormick's, Carol Katzenberger, Ruth Brooks, Billy Edwards, Danetta Bruner, Jessica Sobel, Joyce Morgan, Andrea. Just remember those with cancer. Just hold them in your prayers. They go through a hard time, up days and low days, and I really believe that prayer is amazing. Hold them in your prayers. But Temwa, Kathy Yenny, Amy, Emily Dare, I did not get to talk to her dad yesterday. I'll talk to him, find out how she's doing. Bob McMillan, Randy, other things to pray about. Pray about your families, especially now, you know, Christmas time, the holiday seasons, our aunties and uncles and cousins. Pray for your families. Pray for our country, you know, our God-appointed leaders. Pray for them. You know, that God will guide them and direct them. Also, let's remember those in the nursing homes. Then, going further, also on Wednesday, on the 9th, there will be no service on the 9th. So, I'm sorry, no service this Wednesday. And a little while ago, Michelle had sent out a invitation or what have you, if you'd like to get with Right Now Ministries. It's a ministry for Christian media resource. There's a sign-up out in the narthex. Please sign up. Bible devotions, videos, little guidance. From what I have not viewed it, but from what I hear, it's extremely well. So I'll pray, and then from there, Jeff and Ann will come up, and we'll do Advent. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come into your house. Lord God, how awesome you are. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings, for your Spirit just poured upon us, for anointing us, O Lord. Father God, please guide us, direct us, and protect us. Look after our pastoral teams, Lord. Guide them and protect them. Most of all, Father, look after the ones who are sick, the ones who need a healing, Lord. Touch them today. Fill them. Use them. Use us, O Lord. Help us to carry your word. We are the eyes that see. We are the hands that feel. We are the feet that walk and the mouth that talks, O Lord. Let us do our job and duties. Most of all, Father, help us to unite together as one church and one body globally and fulfill our duties. In your precious and holy name, Lord, amen.
Good morning. Today we'll be doing the second week of Advent. The angel Gabriel appeared to Mary to announce that she would be The angel Gabriel appeared to Mary to announce that she would be Jesus' mother. This must have come as quite a surprise. After all, Mary wasn't married yet, and she had a different plan for her life. Gabriel reminded her that nothing is impossible with God. She could have been overwhelmed by the startling news, but she chose to respond with a song of joy. Nothing takes God by surprise. We can trust that God has an ultimate plan for our lives. Discover the joy that comes from believing in Jesus and God's plan for us. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to be our Savior. We can see how Mary trusted your plan, and you filled our heart with joy. Thank you for reminding us that you have a good plan for our lives too. Help us to find our joy in you, because your plans are always good. We love you, and we pray that these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature and sing. Nature and sing. Heaven and nature and sing.
And nature and sing.
Silent stars go by. Yeah.
in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all thy years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his hand. No ear may hear his calming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in.
You may be seated.
Good morning, everybody. It's great. My name is Joel Medendorp. My proudest thing is that I'm the husband of Karen, and I'm also the superintendent on an interim basis at the Unity Christian School. Karen grew up in the church. I remember coming over and to the old church and seeing a really cute girl playing the piano when I was in sixth grade. And fast forward, we've now been married for quite a while. We've been members for a long time, but I took her away for about 30 years to be in ministry and mission service, and it's great to be home. Before I preach, let's pray. Lord, we sure thank you for who you are and all you do for us. You're an amazing God, and even the fact that we're here together in a warm, dry place where we can worship freely is a blessing. We confess that we aren't always the people you call us to be. We thank you that it's this time of year where we get to think about all kinds of fun things, and sometimes we think about people that are missing. But the main thing is that Jesus is the reason for the season. We really thank you for that. That's an incredible gift to us. So we just give ourselves to you during this season. We ask you to bless me during this time. I just plead that my words would be your words and that we would all get something out of this time together. We give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Sermon today is really about the forgotten guy of Christmas. It's about Joseph, and more specifically, the four dreams Joseph had. I heard someone say something about that one time, and I got really curious, so we started looking into it a little bit more. Joseph is an interesting guy, more for what we don't know about him than what we do. We really don't know much about him. In fact, he is talked about, but we never hear any of his words in the Bible. I guess you might say he's kind of the strong silent type, because he was the husband of Mary. He is the adoptive father of Christ. Those are the things most people know about him. An interesting thing, especially for our singers perhaps, is that his name is not included in many Christmas songs. Jesus, what a wonderful child. And one obscure verse in Angels We Have Heard on High talks about Joseph. There are a few contemporary songs, Christian Christmas songs out that talk about Joseph, but we really don't hear much about him even in our Christmas hymns. We do know from Matthew 13:55 that he was a carpenter, certainly a tradesman. That word is more about construction. So they were doing construction with heavy timbers, stones, stonework, masonry, those kinds of things. So he probably was a pretty strong guy. And that's the trade that Jesus learned. And so Jesus was probably a pretty tough, strong, capable guy himself. We do know that he was poor. He didn't make a whole lot of money. We know that because they sacrificed turtle doves, which is what was done when Jews couldn't afford a lamb when they went to make a sacrifice. So we know they weren't people of means. If you want to look up why or the justification for that, that's found in Deuteronomy 22:20-21. Why someone would sacrifice a turtle dove. But we know he loved Mary. He wanted to spare her. He cared very, very much for her. And then he sort of disappears from Scripture after the trip to the temple in Luke chapter 2. He's suddenly gone. We don't know much more about him. There's a lot of speculation. Most of the speculation is around the fact that he probably died somewhere between when Christ went to the temple and before he started his ministry, because he's not mentioned at all in any of the Gospels after Christ was in ministry. So it's assumed he was a little bit older. He had to be established to take on a wife. He had to be an established man in those days to take on a spouse. So he probably was a bit older. Some sources say he was significantly older, but I couldn't verify those, so we'll just say he was older. But we're talking about his dreams. So let's go to his first dream. Dream one is found in Matthew 1:18-25. If you want to follow along, bring your Bible out and look at Matthew 1:18-25. Or you can do what I do often when I'm in church. I just look at the screen. But if you follow sometimes in the Bible, you can see some things in context that you might not see before. Look on the verses around them, see what's happening. Well, let's go to Matthew 1:18-25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for which he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This dream is all around the fact about keeping Mary, not putting her away. So there's a few things we know from this dream. Joseph was a just or very righteous man. He struggled with a massive dilemma. You see, reputation of a man in those times was everything. I think we consider reputation pretty important now, but in those times, reputation was everything. So he struggled between what the law said, what he was supposed to do, and what he really wanted to do because he loved Mary very much. But he ended up having to decide, in his mind, the only choices were do what the law says, which is condemn her publicly, put her away quietly. Those were the only choices, until God spoke to him in a dream through an angel. And that gave him a third option. The third option was what she has in her is from the Holy Spirit. Marry her anyway. That wasn't an option he was considering before. He heard God in spite of being under enormous pressure as a man in that society. He also trusted God and obeyed God. Those are very profound things when we realize what kind of strain, what kind of stress he was under dealing with the culture of the time. He stood up to the culture of the time. He did what God told him to do, and he took Mary anyway and moved her to a different place. So in those times, marriages, weddings, were about the groom, not the bride. I don't recommend watching the show Bridezilla, but I've seen the title. We have Bridezillas these days because it's all about the bride. In those times, it was all about the groom. And it was a time for the groom to be recognized and to be appreciated and to call all of his friends and neighbors and be the focus of attention because he was at the point where he was capable of taking on a wife. And since he took Mary away to another town, he didn't get to enjoy that celebration. So he sacrificed a lot as a man in that culture to do what he did. So let's go on to dream two. The nice thing about a sermon like this is when you say there's four dreams, you can tell about where we are in the service. So we're at dream two. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother. Flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child and destroy him." As he rose and took the child and his mother by night. Let me start that sentence over. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." This is the dream involving moving to Egypt. Once again, he heard God, he trusted God, and obeyed God. He ended up moving about 40 miles on foot with a wife, a little baby, in the middle of the night. We've moved a lot in our lifetime, usually with a U-Haul. And I don't think they probably had as much stuff back then, but still the idea of getting up and moving in the middle of the night is not something I would really want to think about doing. And yet, instead of rolling over, here's this guy that was awakened by a dream. And instead of rolling over and saying, "Oh, I'll do it in the morning," he obeyed God right then. And he got up, got his family together, and moved more than 40 miles in the middle of the night. That's a pretty amazing guy. There's a tradition in the Egyptian Coptic Christian tradition that family stayed in at least 25 different places in Egypt. So they ended up moving over and over again while they were in Egypt. That's a pretty amazing amount of work that Joseph went through. This also fulfilled prophecy from Hosea 11:1. Depending on which source you look at and how how prophecies are interpreted. There's over 351 prophecies about Christ in the Old Testament that Christ fulfilled. And this is where, this is the proof of one of them. So let's move on to dream three. This is found in Matthew 2, 19 to 21. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. This is the dream we'll call the return from Egypt. Once again he heard, trusted, and obeyed. Archelaus, who is discussed in there around that time in the Bible, was just as cruel as his father Herod. Archelaus's father was Caesar Augustus, or Augustus Caesar, and he was exiled and put into Roman rule. See, this is what happened to make the change that it went from Roman rule, from Jewish rule under Rome to pure Roman rule, and Pontius Pilate came to rule at that point. Here's an interesting note, maybe interesting, it's certainly interesting to me. Caesar Augustus, by my research into genealogy, is probably my 54th great-grandfather. Don't be impressed, because I can't remember how many millions of people are in your tree when you get back to the 54th generation. If you take 2 to the 54th power, you can calculate out how many people are involved in your genealogy. The only reason we can keep track of royalty is because records were kept by royalty. Don't worry, there are also thieves, horse thieves, I'm sure, and peasants and paupers in my family tree, just like there are in yours as well. But I was sad to find out that I ended up on the Roman side of this story from my heritage, which is even much more grace to me, that Christ in his infinite mercy chose to take me, a descendant of a Roman, and bring me into his kingdom. How amazing is that grace? Okay, we're down to dream four. Let's go to Matthew 2:22-23. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned in a dream, withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. This is the move to Nazareth dream. Once again, Joseph heard, trusted, and obeyed. He also once again fulfilled prophecy. In Isaiah 53:3, it talks about being despised and rejected. And Nazarenes were also despised and rejected. If you're into Bible study, you might also be interested to know that Hebrew only had consonants, not vowels, at that time. So the word between branch and Nazareth are very similar if you take out the vowels. In fact, they're the same word if you take out the vowels. So another theory is that since those two words were similar, the writers would look back into the Old Testament and see the word for Nazareth, and it's now interpreted as branch. But I know that the Nazarenes were despised and rejected. We know Christ was despised and rejected, so that just seems a more logical theory to me to say how that fulfilled prophecy. So, because of these dreams, we know that Joseph struggled with his doubts. Anyone want to confess along with me that sometimes we struggle with our doubts? Yeah. Joseph was a guy just like us. I'm talking to the men now. And we have a lot of responsibility, and sometimes those doubts can weigh heavily on us. I don't have the experience of being a woman, but I'm sure that as women, you guys have doubts as well sometimes. So I'm sure that we can all relate to that. He also recognized God's voice and obeyed. We have the amazing ability to have God's word interpreted into, translated into our own language, so we can know God's words. I heard someone say, if you do all the do's in the Bible, you don't have time to do the don'ts. But we have his word available to us. Are we hearing it and obeying it? That's a challenge to me, as well as to all of us. He also modeled several attributes that break down a little bit in a fun way in English. Joseph was tough when he could have been weak. He had lots of opportunities to be weak, just to simply follow what was supposed to happen, and instead he listened to God, stood up, and did it. So he was tough when he could have been weak. He was tender when he could have been harsh. Joseph was thoughtful when he could have been hasty. He was trusting when he could have easily doubted. See, even though we don't actually hear from Joseph in the Bible, we actually can figure out quite a bit about him. And Joseph is somebody that, even though he's not really a strong major part of the Christmas story, if we really look into him, he's an amazing example to us. The question is, for all of us, as we leave this service, do we hear, trust, and obey like Joseph did? Are we hearing God? Are we looking into his word and finding out what he has for us? When we know what he has for us, do we trust him? And then, more importantly, do we do what he says? Jesus Christ said, if you love me, you will obey me. Are we obeying the words of Jesus Christ as we see them in the Bible? Let me end with a Christmas blessing to you all. May you be filled with the wonder of Mary. May you be filled with the obedience of Joseph, the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the determination of the wise men, and the peace of the Christ child. May God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the Lamb.
Thank you, Joel. Appreciate it. Good word today. For everybody who participated in the Ministerial Society, the little tags on the tree, thank you very much. On the back of the tag, it does show the dates and the times for drop-off. Please don't forget that. That's this week. And let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this family. I thank you, Lord, for your birth and for your gift of salvation and deliverance. Guide us, O Lord, protect us. Guide us, Lord, in our walk and our path. Fill our hearts and minds, Lord. Protect the family here. Guide us as we go forth and do our jobs, Lord. In your holy name, Lord, amen.